devotees, the subject of the discourse today is dependent origination. Once, Venerable Ananda uttered a statement reference to the dependent origination by saying that it is easy to understand it, and he clearly understood the dependent origination. Buddha said, "Don't say so, Ananda, don't say so, Ananda. It is a deep Dhamma subject which has to be clearly understood, and it is not very easy to understand too. What is dependent origination? Dependent origination refers to the existence of the worldling. The worldling believes that there is a being within him, and his activities as a worldling is influenced or directed by this so-called being. In the dependent origination, the fact that such a being does not exist is clearly shown, but the aspect that the worldly belief is also clearly explained. According to Buddhist philosophy, there is no being existing in us who continue to live this life. The so-called mind and matter, their activity has been confined to cause and effect, which arise and pass away. All that you have done in the past is over. All that you expect to perform in the future is yet to come. What are you? You are just a cause arising, and the action taken is the effect of that cause. A moment-to-moment existence. There is no being as such existing for a period. Philosophically and understanding the true nature of this being, he exists for the moment only. We cannot forget the fact the body made up of elements is subject to arising and passing away, moment to moment. We also have to admit the fact that a thought created by the consciousness also arises and passes away. If the so-called existence is confined to the activity of the body and the mind, then one has to accept that the existence of this so-called being, the mind and body, is just this moment and nothing else. The question has to be asked whether the dependent origination shows this true picture. It has been given various interpretations. Some divide a certain part of the dependent origination as referring to the past, referring to the present, and referring to the future. When you think of these three aspects, that explanation does not tally with the true aspect of Dhamma, that the so-called mind and body exist for the moment only. Therefore, one has to understand the dependent origination clearly without causing any doubt about the aspect of Dhamma referring to the existence of this being has indicated. It refers to an activity of a being at the present moment. That being, of course, is, when you discuss about it in a worldly way, we have to use the word being. But there is no being even existing in us. There is the mind and matter only. The activity of the mind and matter in the past is over. The activity of mind and matter in the future too has yet to come. So if one infers that this activity of the mind and matter is the activity of the so-called being in a worldly way, it is just this moment's activity. What are the activities a worldling commits? A worldling commits activities of seeing with the eyes, hearing with the ears, smelling with the nose, experiencing taste with the tongue, experiencing contact with the body, and also creation of thoughts. These are the six things that this so-called worldly, or to give a correct interpretation, the mind and matter commits from the time it represented being in this world up to the time the body lasts, that is the space of time, the force of karma will exist to maintain the body. And at the end of this span of life, the body perishes and the mind parts the body. Within this period of its birth, up to the time of its death, it's just the mind, what the mind and body does. And it clearly refers to this moment only. All that we have done in the past is over. All that we are expected to perform in the future is yet to come. So, the true assessment of yourself is what you are now. We have to understand the dependent origination in that light. In order to get a true picture of who we are. Otherwise, if we refer to the past, to the present and the future, you create a wrong picture that this so-called being exists. In the past it existed, the being existing now and the being existing in the future too. When actually we do not refer to the activities of a being, we refer to the activities committed by the mind and body. And I referred to earlier that this mind and body commits six activities. That is, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting, and thinking. How are these activities committed? These activities are committed by the creation of a thought. When you say that you saw something, it's a creation of a thought which has arisen and passed away. When you say that you heard something, it's a creation of a thought which has arisen and passed away. When you say that you experience a smell, it's again a thought created which arose and passed away. When you say that you experience a taste, it's again a thought which arose and passed away. Similarly, in regard to contact and the creation of thoughts, all arising and passing away for the moment. That is what you are. That is what you can perform. All that you have done in the past is over. All that you are expected to perform in the future is yet to come. Therefore, your assessment will be on the present moment, that is, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting, thinking. These are the six commitments by the six sense bases. And these commitments are called formations, sanskara. You commit one sanskara and after that you commit another sanskara, you continue like that. In the commission of the sanskara is a case of creating a thought and then experiencing something. That is all. That is all you active for the activity for the moment. If we refer to past activity, then there is not only activities committed during this birth, but activities committed during past births too. No, we are not assessing you as a worldling by considering the past activities. We are not also assessing a worldling And what you expect to perform in the future, we assess the worldling as he is now. That is all you are. Because yours is not a being living and continue to live from the past to the future. You are just one mass of activities. And all such activities, some of them may be bodily performed, but is the result of a cause and effect. The cause arises, the result occurs, both the cause and the result pass away. That's what your activities are. And the activities you perform from the time you wake up in the morning up to the time you go to sleep are all the activities committed by the six sense bases. They are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting, thinking. Those are the activities you perform. Moment to moment, when you are awake, you perform these activities. And in that activity, what do you produce? You commit formations. They say through ignorance. Ignorance gives rise to formations. Ignorance is interpreted as non-attainment of arahatthood, the realization of the Four Noble Truths. But one would consider that ignorance is, that he is ignorant that there is no being existing in him. He performs these activities as if there is a being in him. That is the ignorance. And formations are committed. In committing the formations, you produce a consciousness. First thing that occurs in the commission of a formation is your eye or ear or nose or tongue or body or mind. That constructs the object. And in five instances, they are physical objects. The physical eye or ear or nose or tongue or body contacts the physical object. That happens in the first instance in the commission of a formation. And after that, consciousness arises. That may be the reason that Buddha has referred to the commission of formations, which results in the production of the consciousness. And it's after the consciousness has participated in the activity that positive steps are taken by the consciousness to create a thought. And the creation of the thought is done as a result of the production of the five mental factors, which are contact, feeling, perception, volition, and attention. These five, in a split second, perform their task and a thought arises. And it is that thought that performs the activity. If it is connected with the eye of seeing, if it is connected with the ear of hearing, if it is connected with the nose, is smelling, if it is connected with the tongue, is tasting, if it is connected with the body, is contact, and if it is connected with the thinking process, it's a thought. Thinking. These are the six formations the so-called body and mind can commit. And all these formations are the result of the creation of a thought. And that thought, in the creation of that thought, the five common mental factors as described to you earlier, occurs in a split second and perform their task to complete the formation of the thought. Therefore, consciousness is the third party that contacts the sense base and the object which has attracted the sense base. Then the consciousness produces the five common mental factors, and these mental factors in their performance create the thought. It is indicated in the dependent origination that consciousness produces mind and matter. Mind there refers to nama, the five common mental factors of contact, feeling, perception, volition, and attention. What is this rupa that the consciousness produces? Rupa refers to the four elements. That is, element of solidity, element of liquidity, element of heat, and element of motion. These, when get together, creates the four qualities of taste, color, nutriment, essence, etc. Now, Venerable Sariputta was asked this question in the Sammaditti Sutta in the Middle Discourses. The definition of nama, mind, and he refers to the production of the five common mental factors. He was also asked the definition of rupa in that context. And he said it is the four aspects of the elements, solidity, liquidity, and heat and motion. So it's clear that it is awareness in the consciousness that makes you see or hear or feel or whatever it may be of anything solid, anything made of matter. And the activity of the five mental factors, which quickly occurs arrive after the consciousness, forms the thought that enables you to perform the sense-based activity. That is why in the dependent origination it is said that the commission of formations lead to the production of consciousness, and the consciousness lead to the production of nama, that is the five mental factors, and rupa, the realization of elements, understanding of the elements. And from there onwards, it is clear that this is the occurrence that takes place at the sixth sense basis. Up to that point, if I repeat the dependent origination, avidya paccaya sankhara. Avidya means ignorance. Sankara means volitional activity or formations. Avidya paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. Vijnana is consciousness. And the consciousness leads to the creation of mind and matter. Where do these occur? At the sixth sense basis. Now, up to that point of dependent origination, through the ignorance of the worldling, and that ignorance is not just ignorance of the four noble truths, but the ignorance of the fact that there is no being in him, he commits these activities to the sense basis as if the worlding is there. Because I have in previous discourses explained to you clearly, when the thought is created to enable you to perform the activity of the sense base, it also produces this imaginary being as a result of the five grasping groups arising. They are the grasping group of form, grasping group of feeling, grasping group of perception, grasping group of volitional activity, and the consciousness. So that's a natural occurrence in the consciousness, in the worldling. The arising of this so-called being in your mind, that there is a being in you, that is, and the formations are committed, brothers and sisters, with that false belief in you that they are being committed by this being. It is this being who sees, who hears, who smells, who tastes, who contacts, who thinks. These things are done by this being. And you are under that impression. And in the commitment of these formations, what you are doing is you are making use of consciousness, which give rise to mind and matter, the five mental factors and elements. And these occur in the sixth sense basis. This is going on. Now if you carefully look back, when an assessment has to be made about you as to who you are, we have to judge you from the activity you perform. And what is the activity you perform? You perform the activity of seeing, activity of hearing, activity of smelling, activity of tasting, activity of contacting, and activity of thinking, six base activities. That's what you are. You as a worldling thinks that there is a being in you when there is no being. And you think that it is the worldling within you who commits these acts. When in reality, these activities are committed causally, as cause and effect and nothing else. Cause and effect enables you to see. Cause and effect and cause and effect enables you to hear. Cause and effect and cause and effect that enables you to experience smells. Cause and effect and cause and effect that enables you to contact or experience a taste. Cause and effect and cause and effect that enables you to contact. And it is the cause and effect and the cause and effect that enables you to hear. So you can well imagine, brothers and sisters, you are being misled in regard to the activities of the six sense bases in making you to believe that there is a being within you who is performing these activities. When in fact and in truth, these activities of the six sense bases are created as a result of cause and effect. Now what does this worldling do after you create thought to perform the activities of the six sense bases? This worldling sees something. In the mental factor feeling, he was given his impression whether the object is to his liking or not to his liking. That is all. Your activity should cease after you have seen, after you have heard, after you have smelt, after you have tasted, after you have contacted, and after you have thought. Because that is the performance of the six sense bases. But the creation of this being in you by yourself do not permit you to stop that activity at that. He goes further. This so-called being in you pursues what he likes by the creation of thoughts. And he creates an attachment to the object. If the object is not to his liking, this so-called being creates a distaste for that and creates aversion. It is one of these two things, either attachment or aversion, that produces desire, brothers and sisters. Desire is within this so-called being. He has created this as a being. It is not just an occurrence. It is clearly stated that the spontaneous activity of the mind in creating a thought to experience a sense-based activity does not create desire. You only see, hear, smell, taste, contact and think only. But it is the so-called being created in your mind, which creation has been contributed to by the delusion created by the five grasping groups, which we refer to later. And this so-called being pursued this activity further in the creation of thoughts. Thoughts, if the object is to your satisfaction, to enjoy thoughts, if the object is not to your satisfaction, to create an aversion to it. It is this attachment or aversion of the object that creates the desire. Now, distinctly you see in the dependent origination, brothers and sisters, the activity of the six sense bases up to the six sense base activities. Avidya pachya sankara, sankara pachya vijnana, vijnana pachya namarupa, namarupa pachya salayatana. Ignorance causes the creation of formations. Formations creates the consciousness. consciousness creates the mind and these things occur in the six sense bases. That is one part of the dependent origination. Beyond that, after you have seen or heard or smelled or tasted or contacted or thought, you have done something which is not your original or activity which you should have done. That is something addition. And what is that additional activity you committed? You pursue the experience received through the sense-based object. And if it was to your liking, created more thoughts of attachment. And if it was not to your liking, created thoughts of aversion. This aversion or attachment promoted desire. That is how the desire has been created in you. And it is very clear that desire is not the original quality of the mind, but it is something which you have created subsequently through your ignorance that there is no being in you, but thinking that there is a being in you, you perceive the objects that attract the sense bases, either to enjoy them, if they were to your satisfaction, or to create a distaste for them, if they were not to your satisfaction, which, either of which promoted desire. Now, what did desire do? Desire promoted grasping. I told you that in experience of sense-based activities, you have created the being in you. Who created that being? It is the consciousness and the subsequent activities of the consciousness in the way of putting into practice the five mental factors that promote the formation of this imaginary being in your mind. The five mental factors created this as a delusion in your mind. While mental factors clearly created the thought for you to experience the activity of the sense space, with the same equipment which helped to create the thought, the consciousness also created a delusion in your mind, and that is, the being is present in you. And the five factors that promoted this being are the five factors of one factor grasping, contact, the clean nature of contact, feeling, perception, volitional activity, and the consciousness. Contact is a mental factor. Feeling is a mental factor. Perception is a mental factor. Volitional activity, the result of volition. The only mental factor that has not created a conspicuous activity there is attention, but that too is also there. Therefore, all the mental factors that help you to create a thought as products of the consciousness also created this delusion. Therefore, when the consciousness arose at the time when the sense-based activity contacted an object, it immediately put into practice the creation of the five common mental factors to create a thought. And in that very creation of the thought, it also created the delusion that there is a being in you. And subsequent activity you committed in the way of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting and think. And those are additional activity which you created as a result of the creation of the being in you to either enjoy the object or to create an aversion to the object, according to the liking or the dislike you have created. And this resulted in desire. Desire is something, a very, very strong fetter in you, the cause of birth to come, the cause of all affliction in us, a powerful fetter. And this we created in our mind. And this desire promoted this grasping together, clinging together. What did the desire promoted to cling to? cling to the five grasping groups. Five grasping group of form, five grasping group of feeling, grasping group of perception, grasping group of volitional activity, and the grasping group of consciousness. These five things are clung together, put together, thereby the creation of this so-called being in you. Around the personality you possess, around the so-called body you possess, around that these mental factors created the mental aspect of this being, and there now before you is the being living in yourself. And this being is created by desire. Up to that point now, the dependent origination is clear. After it has committed the six functions, the sense bases, then further activity took place in your mind, in the creation of a thought, to hear, to smell, to taste, to contact, to think. In the very thought that was created by you to experience these sense-based activities, there was this delusion created in the mind by the five grasping groups of the presence of a being. And that being has been created on this personality of yours that is centering around your body as the owner, as the person to whom this being refers to. That's yourself. And the desire you promoted in pursuing this object to the sense basis, in the way of enjoying it if it was something pleasant, or in the way of creating aversion if it was something unpleasant, these two promoted the desire. These two activities maintains the desire. So to say, feeds the desire and keep it alive, active. So in all your activities, the six sense bases, brothers and sisters, you see that you, without your knowledge, pursue the object and try to enjoy it if it is something pleasant. And if the object is not to your liking, you create an aversion to it, and thoughts are created in support of this aversion. It is unnecessary thinking, unnecessary thoughts created by you that supports the desire. You are only expect to perform the activity of the six senses, sense bases, by the creation of a thought in respect of each of them. But what happens to you is this pursuit of what is present and this opposition to what is unpleasant made you to create more thoughts, promoting attachment or promoting aversion. And these thoughts create the desire. And the desire created the grasping of the five groups. Grasping group of form, grasping group of feeling, grasping group of perception, grasping group of volitional activity, and the grasping group of consciousness. Now, there is a being in you, completely controlled by desire. He has created this being so lively in you, he is certainly existing in your personal self. This body that you bear is the body of this so-called person created in you, living. He, the person, personality. Now, the desire has held this person or maintained this person so lively in you that it always likes a becoming. You don't like to die and pass away. It is always a liking to exist further and further and further. And that is becoming. Because the desire pushes the mind for such existence. Desire is the cause of such existence. And desire is very lively now, holding on to this so-called person created by the five grasping groups as the person who should exist further and further and further. And what happens to you when you complete your existence in this world as a result of reaching the end of your span of life, provided to you by karma? You naturally pass away, the body perishes, but the consciousness with that clinging it there for becoming, to continue to exist, that urge drives him to another birth in the same body karma has created for you. Now in the next birth, the three things that perform the task is your father and mother and the consciousness. These three creates a form for you to exist. And another birth occurs. In the present birth, we are subject to suffering. And Buddha clearly stated what suffering means in the wheel of Dhamma, that birth is suffering, old age is suffering, sickness is suffering, death is suffering, to part from loved one is suffering, to live with ones whom you do not like is suffering, also to deprive you of things which you wish to have is also suffering. But there are many aspects of suffering. And this birth that creates that, jati jara vyadi marana, soka parideva dukkha domana svayasa. 11 conditions of suffering, as if you have fallen into a pit of live charcoal, pit of fire, always burning, endlessly. Now you analyze the dependent origination, you can now see clearly a picture before you. First is your activities in regard to the formations, which formations are the activities of the sixth sense basis as a result of a creation of a thought. You continue one after the, from the time you are awake up to the time you go to sleep, this goes on continuously. Creation of thoughts to perform the activities of the sixth sense basis. After that, in the creation of formations, you have created the false impression in you that there is a so-called being in you. And all the formations you have committed in the way of activities of the sixth sense basis are all activity of the mind in the creation of a thought, connected with an object received by the sense base, does not create attachment, does not create desire. It is the subsequent development of thoughts, of attachment or aversion that promote desire. So distinctly there is the activity of the sixth sense basis, which end either in seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, contacting and thinking. Its activity is over. But so-called being created in your mind who has committed all these formations, he does not leave you in peace. He pursues the experience you have gone through in the way of, let's say, an attractive thing has caught the eye and it's something that has appealed to you, that you like, and you pursue that. Who pursues this so-called being created in your mind, pursue this experience to promote desire. And if that object is not to be liked, to create an aversion of the object. This attachment and aversion that produces desire. Therefore, this aspect of creating an attachment or creation aversion which promote the desire is done as a result of the creation of thoughts in you, considering that there is a being in you and he is pursuing this experience of the sense basis to satisfy himself. Normally what you should have done was, you have seen, that's all. You have heard. You have smelled, you have tasted, you have contacted, you have thought, that's all. It is this so-called being created in your formations ignorantly, that has led to pursue these experiences further than the creation of a thought to experience the sense-based activity. In creating thoughts leading to the enjoyment of the object, or creating thoughts to create an aversion to the object, which created this desire. Therefore, desire is something completely foreign to your normal functioning. If you function normally, you should have only experienced the activities, the sense bases, and stopped at that. But you couldn't stop it because in the creation of the formations, or commission of the formations, you have taken upon yourself the belief that there is a being in you, and he does not stop his activity by merely seeing an object, but he pursues that object further to enjoy that object if it is to his satisfaction, and to create an aversion to it if it is not to his satisfaction. That created the desire. What did desire do? Desire made this so-called being in you a permanent feature in you by creating a grasping attachment to it. Therefore, the five things that compose of this so-called being, the grasping group of form, the grasping group of feeling, the grasping group of perception, the grasping group of volitional activity, and the consciousness put together and in you, the so-called physical being is created. This, the most conspicuous feature in this so-called creation is the personality that has contributed much for the creation of this being. Personality, your body. And what happened to this situation? Now, there is a strong feeling that there is somebody in you. And that has promoted to become, to continue. This so-called being must not be made to die, made to part you, but made to exist. Then you like the becoming. And the becoming leads to the birth. And the birth leads to your suffering. So you see, brothers and sisters, clearly, that the 11 links that depend on origination completely explains to you very clearly how you lead yourself to suffering. If it is a normal function of the sixth sense basis, you should have stopped at seeing and hearing and smelling and tasting and contacting and thinking. Because that spontaneous activity of the mind in the creation of a thought to experience these things do not promote desire. It is the so-called being created in your mind, this false picture centering around your personality that made you to pursue this experience of the sense base. If it was to your liking, to enjoy that liking and create the attachment to it, or if it is not to your liking, to create a distaste for it. And these two things, one of these two things that promote the desire. This is what happened to you. When the desire is formed, naturally, this five grasping group became a living creature in you, tightened by the grasping resulting from attachment, resulting from aversion, resulting from the desire. It became a living force and it anxious to continue its life, continue its life, continue its life. Though at the death, the end of your span of existence, when your body perishes, the mind does not rest there. It's pushed by desire, go on existing. And for its existence, the karmic force which you have committed creates the so-called the covering for its existence. That is your body. And it gets into that form. Who creates that body? Your mother and father. That's the natural situation that exists in the world. There's all the opposite parties which create, but the cause of that creation is the karma. The karma helps you and helps this consciousness to carry on another birth. And this wheel of births and deaths continues in that manner, brothers and sisters. Therefore, it is very, very clear that the dependent origination is what you are at this moment. This moment a thought is created, then you observe something through a sense base and it passes away. This moment, a desire is also promoted by this experience and it creates a grasping. Every thought that arises and passes away, that is your formal death, so to say. But the arising of thoughts are not stopped at that, because this five grasping group promotes more and more thoughts to be created. And you go on creating more and more thoughts. You must bear in mind this fact. Your body arises and passes away, and there is a lifespan for the existence of the body. But in regard to your mind, it continues from birth to birth without dying. And it is this mind that causes also the birth to come. The creation of the body is an act of karma, because the mind continues to exist, and it, what is existence in the next world which it has gone into now, the karmic force helps it to create the body. And this continues in this manner. Therefore, interpretation of the dependent origination as an instance where you create a thought, the thought arises and passes away, that is dependent origination. And that is the true interpretation that should be given to dependent origination. What you are is only this moment. Your body also is subject to constant changes. Your mind is also subject to constant changes. And the mind and matter contributes to the creation of thoughts. All thoughts that you have created in the past are over, and thoughts that you have created in the future are yet to occur. What are you? Just a thought only. You are just a thought. And that is well in keeping with the philosophy of Buddhism. In regard to the body, there is the birth and death taking place. But in regard to the mind, there is a continuity of the mind, one after the other, thoughts arising and continuing to exist. Till such time you ultimately gain your liberation with the ending of this thinking process. Therefore, dependent origination must be understood in that manner. Very often they refer to a past birth, they refer to a present birth, and they refer to a birth to yet to come. If you take the interpretation that way, then the true spirit of the religion, Buddhism, is not there. What you are is what you are now. Your body that existed a while ago is not existing now. The body that has to exist in the future is also not to come, not come as yet. The thought has arisen and it has passed away. You are just a bundle of cause and effects and nothing else. Just a bundle of cause and effects and nothing else. In fact, Arahat Sisupachala, she was questioned by Mara while she was resting in the jungle after midday meal. Who created you? And a series of questions were asked about the creation. And Sisupachala replied, not being created by anybody. Don't think, Mara, that there's a being in me. This is just an instance of a formation. A formation created by the mind. Arose and passed away. Arose and passed away. That is all. It's merely a formation and nothing else. There's no continuity of so-called life in this. It just arises and passed away for the moment. That which have arisen and passed away in the past no longer exists. And those which are to exist in the future no longer has occurred. Therefore, what you are is just arising and passing away. Cause and effect and nothing else. And that is the true interpretation that should be given to dependent origination. Not the interpretation formally given in the books about your past life connected with the present life and the present life connected with the future life. That is not in keeping with the true aspect of the religion Buddha has preached in his philosophy, that there is no being in us. It's just mass of activity and nothing else. And what you are is what has arisen in your mind, and the body has committed that act. That which arose in the mind arose and passed away, and the act committed by the body also arose and passed away. That is what you are. understand it clearly, brothers and sisters, and your understanding must be true to what Buddha has clearly stated, that there is no being existing in this world. It is just arising and passing away, nothing else. Thank you very much.